In the name of the Holy One, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I want to read another passage from the book of Malachi. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing thee? And tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the devourer before you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. The only thing worse than having people with MDiv degrees in your congregation is having people with PhDs in physics, for I'm a bit about to say some things that relate to their fields. I know there I will make mistakes, so don't take the mistakes, just try to get the big picture. So the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Now that, what is it in meters, David?
3 × 10⁸, 300 million.
Okay, thank you. You got that right. Now, I heard this on television. 1 billion years ago, 2 black holes collided and created a wave in the time-space continuum. 1 billion years ago. 500 million years ago, everything on this planet was cellular life. A 250 million years ago, I think, was the dinosaur age. And it came to a radical end by an asteroid or some kind that killed off everybody, or at least all the dinosaurs. We were maybe scurrying around in holes as little small primates, trying to stay away from the dinosaurs, I guess. 100,000 years ago, folks kind of like us started showing up. In 1916, Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity predicted gravity waves in the space-time continuum. And 100 years later, just this past year, we measured those gravity waves. Now, is that close? Pretty close. Now you might say, what was the physics lesson to do with Stewardship Sunday? It's not far of a leap. The reality is that in many, many ways, you're giving to the church, you're being a good steward of all that God has given you, is your relationship to the person of the Creator who created all this incredible stuff that's just mind-boggling. I mean, it's just hard for me to get my mind around. I mean, and after I told you all that stuff, I mean, it's really kind of wonderful, to be honest, to have two PhD physics professors in our midst, because they come here in some way recognizing this incredible mystery. But in some small way, a tangible way, you are related physically to the very Creator of the universe by acknowledging your dependence on God and by giving some small portion back to God. Now, in the Malachi lesson, it says that human beings are inclined to rob God of tithes and offerings. My guess is that it was easier in the days that Malachi was written to tithe because it was an agrarian society. And if you had 100 bushels of wheat, my guess it was easier to give 10 bushels of wheat as a tithe rather than if you make $100,000 to give 10,000. Now the principle is the same, however. Someone, when we studied this in Bible study this week, said, well, doesn't that include all your charitable giving? And let me just say, those are the kinds of questions that are between you and the Creator. I'm in sales, not management. I do believe, however, that historically, the church has always understood that tithes are called, we're calling tithes out of you to give back to God in this place. Now, the reality is that you might, we occasionally kind of go, well, it's about time for Stewardship Sunday. And we'll print up the pledge cards and we'll hand them out in church. And if you're not in church, you'll get one in the mail. And folks, you're great at it. You mail them back. Now, there are a handful of you that in January will be calling, are you want this to go to your pledge? You didn't fill out a pledge card. Yeah, just put me down the same as last year. Now, that's beautiful, because what you've already built into your life is this relationship between God and you and God's church and you. That's wonderful. And I'll say something that the vestry probably would shoot me if they could stop me right now. I'm convinced that if you really get your absolute dependence on God, stop giving. Don't give it. You've got there. You've arrived. Because that's really what it's about. Absolutely understanding at the bottom of your being that all that you have and all that you are comes from the Lord. We say it Sunday after Sunday in early church, and we ought to say it more in here. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The challenge of every church is to somehow get the people in the church to see and be connected to the Creator. Now, I will tell you another story. I just got back from the National Association of Episcopal Schools. You know, hundreds and hundreds. I don't know. They didn't even say. I mean, there was probably almost 1,000 people there. It was one of the largest conferences they've had in many, many years. And in every meeting where there were heads of schools and rectors together, I always was asking people in my group, because I'm a rector, how many times and what were the things that the people were doing to try to get church members from the pool of school members? The vice president of the National Association of Episcopal Schools says, "Randall, give up. It just doesn't work." It was very depressing because certainly as long as I've been here, we've been trying to come up with ways to reach out to the people we minister to in our school. Interestingly, in one meeting, we had a woman who just started as rector in Winston-Salem. And in the past 2 or 3 years, she's gone from about 5% of her school coming to church to 60%. I got her name and address, and we're going to be on the phone talking. But the challenge of our time is that we've got about 50% of the people we minister to who are unchurched. And it's not so much that we want them in here because of what they will bring, but we want to be reaching out because that's what we're called to do, to reach out to others, because we think it's important that everybody on the planet gets in relationship with the Creator. That's what we're called to do in good times and in bad times. The gospel lesson that Roy read, what we call the mini apocalypse in the synoptics, talks about these great difficult times that where Christians will be oppressed and persecuted. And in the middle of it, there's this incredible statement, in the middle of persecution, rejoice, because you're given an opportunity to share the goodness of God in Christ with the people you meet. Wait a minute. It's hard enough to get folks to share about the good news of God in Christ, and we're not persecuted. You mean it's going to take persecution? I don't know. But what we ought to hear is the great privilege we have to share with people we come in contact with the good news of God in Christ. But my guess is, the realities of our time is that we're going to go through a period where the numbers that you look around and see in church will more than likely diminish unless we change what we do. Somehow, getting out of ourselves, and it will take resources. One of the things that I'm constantly thinking about is how can we reach out our hands to these probably 75 families, totally unchurched. We had them in here for a blessing of the bags back in September. I guess we invited everybody, but I guess maybe 5 or 6 families. To be honest, I don't even think we counted. But 5 or 6 families came. And I promise you, there was one little man sitting back over there where Kent is. He was sitting there, and I thought he was going to back out of church. It just looked so foreign, what we do. And he was real quiet going out. He kind of eased out. Grabbed his child and shook my hand and eased away because it looked so scary, so foreign. We're called to make it absolutely familiar. We're called to reach into people's lives and share the meaning of a relationship with God from our own relationships. These are the challenges that are tough. The reality is that most of you grew up in a time, this church was built in a time
that if you build it, they came. That simple. Those times have ended. And those of us who are here still have a ministry. We still have things that we're called to do, that God is calling you to do, to reach out. And you say, oh, I know. I mean, in fact, in one of the meetings, someone was saying, how many of your parishioners involved in the relationships doing things in the school? One of the heads of schools was sitting next to me, and she said, well, that's a tough thing. We really don't have many. And I went, is it because most of them are 80? Because that's our life. We're living in this era, but it doesn't lessen our responsibilities. I mean, I pray that you'll catch a vision for it. I hope you'll ask the Lord what you're going to do this year in your tithes and offerings, because it's going to take resources. I pray you'll catch fire and let God work through you mightily. Amen.